Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. A long time ago, a friend of mine, Peter Hogan, described depression as, he said, depression is anger turned inward. Combined with powerlessness. So he said, when you have anger that you feel outward, you turn it against the self, but you feel powerless to do anything about it. So it's an interesting thought, powerlessness. Because I wonder about power. What is power? What is it really? Every cell looks to have power. It's very interesting because every cell, every animal form, I was talking yesterday about the fact that they're all reaching for the sun. And what is the sun? The sun represents the ultimate power, the energy source, the source of energy, photosynthesis. You get your power by kissing the sun in one form or another. If you're a tree, you reach up to the heavens. You look for that power. You look to feel that energy. Every cell in life is looking for two things. Every being. There are two rules of power. What are our two great powers? Number one, the power to eat. The second power, the power not to be eaten. That's all. That's all we care about. I mean, we care about procreating and keeping the species going, but the main thing that we care about is I got to eat because I got to keep going. And I got to not be eaten along the way because everybody's food for somebody else in some form or other. So then what do you want to have? You want to have power that helps you eat when you want to eat, and not be eaten because you don't want to be eaten, because you want to get through. So we're going to look at power today, and we're going to look at powerlessness and real power and fake power. But a funny anecdote comes to a friend of mine who was on vacation today, and she called me and she said, I'm on vacation and I went to this wonderful place where there's a pool and a beach, and I went with my kids, and there was a lot of people there, like 50 or 60 people there at this poolside resort kind of thing. But they tried to go in the ocean, but the jellyfish were flooding the ocean. So we couldn't go in the ocean because of the jellyfish. So now the jellyfish had the power, you see? Then she went to the pool, and she was in the pool, and they had a baby in the pool, and the baby passed a stool in the pool. So immediately there was a panic in the pool. They shut the pool down. Everybody had to get out of the pool, and nobody was allowed back in the pool for 8 hours. The baby had a lot of power. In fact, everybody who had gone to this resort had their resort kind of cut short because they couldn't go to the ocean and they couldn't go in the pool. And it was a 100-degree day. And it was like a little bit of a torture by jellyfish and by babies. Now, of course, the babies didn't have any power, and the jellyfish certainly didn't have any power. I mean, what were they doing? You know, probably dying coming up that close to the water. So power is kind of illusory. Let's think of some of the different kinds of power that we think of. When you think of the word power, you think about a power hungry, somebody who wants to have power. And what does that mean? I want to be able to control people and tell people to do what I want them to do, and I want them to listen to me. There's a sexual power. which means that I want to be able to command and have sex whenever I want it, and I want to be able to use my sexuality to get what I want from other people. Supposedly. Power. There are power struggles between children and their parents, between adults and adults, between men and women, between women and women, between men and men. I mean, what is a football game? It's a power struggle. But is it real power? Is there any real power around here? You're still kids who are playing on a field. Does anything really happen? I pushed you back 5 yards. No, I pushed you back 5 yards. Does it have any meaning? Is knowledge power? There's another big phrase. Knowledge is power, but some of you poor folks have so much now knowledge that you're powerless behind your confusion about what goes on in your brain. Right? You think so much. The more we feed you, the more information you get, the weaker you get. But you say, ah, no, knowledge is power. I'm not so sure. So I want to look at today some of the effects of powerlessness. What is powerlessness? Powerlessness is the sensation of being out of control with no apparent solution to help you regain control. So let's say, for example, you're in love with somebody and they see you as frequently as you'd like to see them, and then they say to you, I can't see you as frequently, and you feel powerless and desperate. You say, I can't live without them. How am I going to be only seeing them fewer than I thought, right? Sense of powerlessness comes over you. Powerless is a complete lack of control, authority, or status to affect others or how others will treat you or act towards you. Now, when I say complete lack of control, that means if you agree or you're in a situation where you're imprisoned and you're beaten and you have no control over that, that's powerlessness. But if you're at a job where you're getting a salary and you're being abused, is that powerlessness? You know, because you're saying, I want to keep this job, I got to feed my family. But is it powerless if you have choices? Powerlessness is a lack of capability to affect the realities of life out of your control, like how others act towards you. If you want to get a job, if you will be accepted to a school you desire to attend, powerlessness over what the weather will be. The weather. Did you ever wonder why we have so many newspaper headlines about the weather? Why is there so much going on about the weather? I mean, the weather is... I had a friend from Germany who was here, and he said, there's so many... They talk about the weather. It's going to rain. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's been 100-degree heat. Because it's about power. It's about trying to get control over the weather as well. Powerlessness is the lack of ability to affect or change the compulsive or addictive behaviors of yourself or other people. You got addictions, you're powerless. You can't control it. You're in love with somebody who's addicted, you can't control it. Powerlessness. Powerlessness is not being able to make people exactly what you want them to be. Powerless to change past events which have had a negative impact in your life. Your grandma died 2 years ago, and it's affected you forever. You can't go back and change it. Powerlessness to ensure that all your dreams and fantasies for the way you want life to be will come true to reality. Powerlessness to completely change things you've attempted repeatedly to change with no success. That's where you feel powerless, you see. And we have to look at this. We have to examine this. Let's look at the presence of impulsive, addictive, compulsive, and obsessive behaviors. Now, here's where people really feel powerless. Because up to now, you haven't been able to get under control. They're causing your life to become unmanageable. They affect your life, and you are out of control. It takes you over. The need for love can make you powerless. Right? My power goes as far as your need. If you have no needs, I have no power. The lack of strength, competence, or skills to overcome realities in life that have no apparent solution, such as having cancer, you know, and you're trying desperately to get over it, or AIDS, or complete recovery from cerebral palsy, or bringing back to life someone who's died. You have no control over these physical realities of life. You feel powerless. Powerlessness, as we said, is on the path to depression and addiction. Recognition that there are for you people, problems, and things that are uncontrollable and unchangeable and are out of your power to control or affect them. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're looking at the concept of power. We have this thought about power. I keep reading about power. Abuse of power is a concept. Is there an abuse of power when somebody has an authority? Are they abusing power? If you're a cop, a policeman, and you decide to beat up on somebody who's in handcuffs, it's abuse of power. Are you really, do you really have power over that person? Well, remember, that person can't escape. And when somebody can't escape, that is a power situation. What are the negative consequences of not looking at your own powerlessness? If you don't accept the fact that you are powerless over the uncontrollables and unchangeables in your life, then you begin to frustrate yourself in your attempts to gain control and fix the non-fixable. People go crazy trying to get control over their life. Got to make more money, got to fix the car, got to get this fixed, got to fix this person, got to make this person be a certain way and have this person be another way. You begin to frustrate yourself. You become extremely rigid and dogmatic in your handling of life's problems, believing that there's only one way to do things, which is the perfect way. You know, that stiff, dogmatic way that people could be? Do it my way. It's the only right way. Deny the enormity of things which you do not have power to change, and get locked into fantasy or magical thinking that given enough time, energy, and resource, you could succeed in changing them. If you don't accept this powerlessness of yours, you become so full of self-pride as to believe that you can only be the savior for the ills or problems you're facing. You're the only person who could solve them. So you're stuck in aloneness. You can become so self-preoccupied that you become incapable of reaching out to ask for others' help. And, of course, that makes you far more powerless. So here's our thing, my friends. We have to look and think of our illusion of what power is. Like, what is power? What do you believe? If you could have a power, more power, what would you like? And that's a question I'm going to ask of you, and I'm going to take your calls today as we're talking about power. If there were a power you wanted, what would it be? Would it be the power to attract and get the love from a decent, good human being? Would you like that power? Would you like to have the sexual power, to have sex available to you whenever you want? Would you like money power? If you think about it, which power is more important to you? 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls all day today. I do want to hear from you. When you don't accept your powerlessness, you cling on to people who you cannot control and change until one day they walk out on you, frustrated by your incessant efforts to change, correct, or reform them. It makes you depend on people. Depend on people because you're hoping that one day they're going to change for you. Sometimes you lose perspective of your own limits. You don't become self-protective of your energy. You wind up putting your energy out for other people just in an effort to desperately get some control over a situation like love. Love is one of the great illusions. What people do for love, unbearable, unbelievable. It's all in the name. So powerlessness is a control issue. It gives you the ability to retain the locus of control in your hands because you have the right to accept or reject, to reach out or pull in others' offers of help. You have the right. You know, I often think of suicide as the ultimate power. The one thing you could do is end your life. Nobody could stop you. Everything else, in one form or another, you don't have is power. 212-209-2900. A couple of minutes, we're going to take your calls. Somebody said to me, the great power I have is the power to think. But the person who said it to me is obsessed with negative thinking. And I said, yeah, you got the power to think. I wish you didn't have it. I wish you could slow your brain down. Another person said, I have the power to feel. Well, usually, sometimes those feelings can run you crazy. They can drive you crazy. You could have emotions that direct you in such crazy ways. So is that power you're feeling? Power thinking? Someone else said to me, one of the things that power does for me is it gives me time. If I have power, then I have time. I thought about that. The ultimate power is having more time. Because if you have power, then people will do things for you. They'll fetch for you. If you have power, then you have money, so on and so forth. But is it? Do you have control over this time? What happens when you get sick? Do you have control over the time? If you have a fatal illness, do you have control over time? If there's an accident, do you have control over time? Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. We're going to take one of your calls, and then we'll keep going with you. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Oh, Armand, this is Orlando, former New York resident, native New York resident, and now in Philadelphia.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Streaming you on the web.
Nice, thank you.
Armand, you have touched on a subject that is so important to me, and I'm hoping to ask you a crystallized question and receive one of your ultimate insights upon which I depend, frankly. What I'm starting to realize in my romantic relationships is that I am totally blind, and somehow I seem to attract women who are really ambivalent about being in relationships, and the way it manifests is that I always want to get closer to them than they want to get closer to me. So their objective is to erect these boundaries and give me these rules about sort of rationing how much time we can spend together, how intense our communication can be, how much sex we can have, what kind of sex we can have. It's all about these rules. And I realize that what these rules are intended to do is to keep me away, to regulate how enmeshed we become, how involved in their lives we become. And what I really want, of course, is the opposite, to be drawn closer. So I'm going to shut up now and just let you do what you do.
Okay, but stay with me.
Yes, of course, I'm right here.
Okay, yeah. You see, you choose women who are at a little bit of a distance, and they choose you because they figure they could be at a little bit of a distance. If you're with a man who is blind, right, and he can't see, then you know you have a certain control over the actions and behaviors. So mostly a woman who would be attracted to you might have a sense of control and like to control relationships. Now, you would also find that appealing.
Why would I find that appealing?
Well, I don't know. How do you feel in general? Do you like women who are more powerful or women who are more submissive? What would you say you choose?
I would say I like women who are powerful in the sense that they can help me take care of the things that give me trouble in life, but I don't like when that power is used against me.
Well, it's only
to shut me out.
It's only used against you to limit you.
Right, exactly.
See, you're a hungry guy.
Right, right.
You're starving. You're starving for stimulation.
That's right. That's right, Armand. Keep going.
Yeah, and what they got to do is they got to keep you at a distance because you're going to eat them up. You see, they're saying to you, oh, hold it back a little bit and learn to hold it back a little bit because I can't take as much as you have to give. Now, I am sure there's a woman out there who wants to be completely devoured by you.
I think I found her.
Okay, and then she'll say, give it to me, give me all you got.
That's right. That's what I've been looking for my whole life, Armand.
You're going to be surprised when you get it. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, oops, maybe I want somebody with a little more distance.
You think so?
Yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking. I've just seen it happen so often. But run it. You know, go with it. Go with it. See what it's like. You know, eat every ounce of it. Lick every corner of it.
Mm-hmm.
Find every taste of it, smell of it, all of it. Enjoy it. Have the great pleasure of it. And then see. See about you. Because you're going to find that part of this distance is you. That the distance isn't all theirs. That there's a part of you when you're not striving forward that is backing away.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find that.
Wow. I never thought of myself that way because I've always been consumed by the struggle.
Sure, you're the yearner, absolutely.
You know, so I never thought that I might actually want that distance or benefit from it in any way.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be choosing people who are at a distance.
But I don't know that they're going to be that way when
say.
I choose them.
That's what you say. I think you're pretty smart. I think you know it, but you don't know that you know it.
Huh?
I think you know it, but I think you don't know that you know it. I think you know that you know it about these people and that they're going to be overwhelmed by you. But now you say in your current relationship, this person's not overwhelmed, right?
Nope.
She wants all that you've got?
Yes.
How long has this relationship been going on?
Well, it's been going on at a long distance and you know, via phone and internet and all that for about 15 months, and now it's going to start to gear up into the face-to-face realm.
How wonderful. How wonderful. I'm excited for you. I'm sure you're excited, too.
I am excited. It took a long time, and unfortunately, while I was waiting for it to fully gestate, I was out there trying to find other things and failing miserably at it, and this is what I should have been waiting for.
No, you were just learning. You weren't failing miserably at it. You were succeeding. You were preparing yourself.
I was?
Yeah. This is where you're meant to be. This is where you'll be. You're okay. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks,
and thanks for streaming us. Anytime you want, you just give a call.
Oh, thanks, Armand.
My pleasure. 212-209-2900. What power would you like to have that you don't have, you know? Let's take another one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Armand?
Yes.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
You remember we talked a couple months ago about my 30-year relationship with my children's father?
No, I don't remember, Susan.
Yeah, you told me that that I was trying to get out of the relationship because we lost our 23-year-old son.
Oh, yes, okay.
And my daughter is living with her aunt now?
Yes.
Well, now I got bad worse news. Her father's been diagnosed with, I think it's terminal cancer, lymphoma.
Mm.
And now he's come back and I'm letting him stay with me.
I understand.
And I'm not feeling well with him being here, but if I don't let him stay here, he'll have to go live in a men's shelter in Manhattan.
So, you know, it comes like that in life.
How? How did this happen too?
It happens. It happens. It happens in life that we fall upon each other and we're lucky to find a spot and there's a need that's meant there. There's a lesson in this for you, Susan. There's a place in here that I promise you can find peace and beauty if you're not fighting.
He's only 47.
Turn yourself over. Just give
Jesus
up.
Jesus Christ.
Just give up. Turn yourself over.
You remember how you were talking at the beginning of the show, what kind of power would you want?
Yeah.
That's the kind of power I would want. Help from my God.
Well, maybe you have it.
I think I might.
You know that old story about the man walking down the beach? You know the one about guy talked to God, or God said to him, I've always been with you, and he said...
And when you were down, I carried you.
Right, you know exactly. Susan, thanks a lot for calling in.
Armin, before you go, am I doing the wrong thing by trying to take care of him again, even though it doesn't make me feel well physically?
I don't think so, Susan. Take
care
of him.
I need to be there for him?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I need to be there for him.
It sounds like it.
Even though it's...
I know you're giving me the even those, but from the sound of your voice, it's what you really want to do.
Okay, and what about getting my daughter back?
That's another story. We'll have to address that another time.
Okay.
One at a time. Susan, thanks for calling.
I hope that soon that I could come to your center and see you.
Sure. Happy to see you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking a little break. How much we want to know. You know, you think about power, you think about a prison. A prison is a place where you just absolutely, they strip you of your power. They take away your shoelaces, they lock you up, they tell you when to eat, when to do things. So what do you do in prison? You do exercise, you do what you can to develop your mind, and you know you're just waiting it out. But then other people, they join the army, and they say, I have no power by myself, but I have power as a gang. Now, a lot of people think of the fact that they could have power of a gang. You know, the power of a gang is a group power. The power of a mob. The power of the military. It's if I get together with a bunch of you, then I have power, because by myself I don't have power. So there's an illusion to that. And there's a reality to it, too. That together we have more power than we do alone. Unfortunately, too many people use prejudice and racism as their ways of feeling power. And their idea of feeling power is by putting other people down. And it's all, again, illusory. None of it is real. So is there such a thing? Maybe the word is wrong. Maybe power doesn't exist. Maybe we should just forget about it. Hey, we'll be back with you in a few minutes. Yeah, maybe it's just a mistake. By the way, we have been active on Facebook with The Positive Mind on the Facebook page. Lauren, is it thepositivemind.com? What do you look for in Facebook?
It's Facebook, and then you just type in Armand DeMille or The Positive Mind.
Type in The Positive Mind, and you'll be a part of this gang that seems to be all over the world. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes, my friends. And then a little music, and we will continue with our programming.
I want to know, vorrei sapere, come fa la gente a concepire di poter vivere nelle case d'oggi, scatolati come le acciughe, nascono i bimbi che han già le rughe. I want to know. Perché la gente non dice niente ai Mr. Hyde, ai Dr. Jekyll, i costruttori di questi orrori che senza un volto fanno le case dove la carie germoglia già. I want to know. Why am I fight for forever? Why am I fight forever? So what if they find all of them?
Adriano Celentano, I Want to Know. Now we're talking about powerlessness and power. You know, this is different from the externally imposed powerlessness of racial, class, and gender oppression, which may be enforced through economic, legal, physical, military might. The secretary who's being sexually harassed, the single mother who can't get a promotion due to sex discrimination, the homeless family that can't afford housing. These are victims that require collective power and direct action to overcome their powerlessness. Collective power may take the form of a union or a network of friends, supporters, professional helpers. Direct action might include a lawsuit, going to the media, organizing a strike or protest. Collective power and direct action together make an even more powerful combination. Even more insidious than this is when, as is often the case, externally imposed powerlessness is combined with learned powerlessness. See, as a kid, if you're convinced you have no power, that's the original sense of it comes from back there. Combine those two. When this is the case, the above methods are not possible because the person is emotionally incapable of asserting their rights. If you strip away somebody's spine and then you beat them up as an adult, they have no chance. The first step to overcoming learned powerlessness, and that means the one that you learned as a child, is to learn to feel entitled in your personal rights. You have the right to live a life free from physical, emotional, sexual, and financial mistreatment. You have the right to be treated with respect, to earn a livable income, to be informed of matters that affect you, and to express yourself freely without harming others. More importantly, you have the right to ask for what you need, even though you may be turned down, and to fight for what you need and want, even if you are turned down. This list of legitimate entitlements is easier to hear than to experience. Most people who have learned powerlessness barely feel entitled to speak. When you meet that overly shy, withdrawn person that we spoke about yesterday, that's learned powerlessness. They don't feel entitled to speak, let alone to speak freely. Often you need like professional therapy to overcome the ingrained patterns. Nevertheless, to overcome learned powerlessness, you must gradually but persistently lay claim to each and every human right, one after another. So there is a state of powerlessness that comes with us as children. We have to, in some way, accept where we really are powerless in life, which is around our addictions and around things like that, but we also have to understand that there's a powerlessness that was ingrained in us. One of the ways that people deal with their powerlessness is they become passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive is a way to deal with your powerlessness. What you do is you just don't express your power directly when you get angry, and what you do is you do it by forgetting things, showing up late, you know, going someplace and taking the Tappan Zee Bridge or something. You know, you just, you have your have your way. But other ways is to be submissive. And to be submissive is a way of, it looks like you're giving up power, but you're really in control. So there are many ways, all about the power struggle. What about you? What about your need to have power? 212-209-2900. Here's a quote. Nearly all men, this is by Abraham Lincoln, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Valerie.
Hello, Valerie.
There is a woman who comes to my office, and she has some power. I want what she has. She's so smart, and everybody is almost waiting for her to come to the office because she's so beautiful.
Yeah, so she's dynamic and powerful and beautiful.
It's like she can read people's minds as well.
And she has a real presence.
Yes.
She has a dynamism.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand. And it's magnetic.
It's
fantastic.
And she's so innocent, she doesn't act like she has it.
No, she's like this born, beautiful angel that walks into a room.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Yes. It's very exciting. She makes my day. It's a surprise when she comes, and it affects me.
Okay, now, of course, if you have the same power, you're not going to feel that way when she walks in anymore.
I'm shy, and I don't look like that.
You don't look like that, and you don't have that. But if you did have it, then you couldn't appreciate her stuff anymore, you know what I mean? Because you'd be the one, because you want to have this power. You want to have this ability. You want to be able to be an extrovert. You want to be able to connect with people. Because did you hear the program we did yesterday on extroversion and introversion?
Yes.
Yes. You see, you're on that side of it, the introverted side, and you appreciate the energy that she brings in.
It's almost like I start imitating her.
Yeah, good. Now, what if she told you that the reason she feels this way is because she started taking a drug called Topamax? You know, and which is common. People take drugs, you know. And maybe she's really depressed, but she's taking a drug called Topamax. And I'm just mentioning that one because I happen to know that that speeds people up. Would you take the drug?
No.
Why, no. If you want to be like her?
She's not she's... first of all, I cannot be like her. She's very brilliant. She's smarter than anybody here. We all know that.
Well, Topamax may make you smart.
See, that's another thing which I think we all admire about her. She doesn't try. She's not fast. She's not speed. She's not... She knows. She's confident. She's slow.
She's like blessed. She's really beautiful. And I understand. I understand what you mean. So it's very difficult when you come from a place that's different than that, when you run into one of these people who may or may not be, you know, a really blessed kind of person. And she may have that. She may have that energy. And it just reminds you of what you don't have.
Yes.
It reminds you of what you're short of. What's your name?
Valerie.
Yeah, Valerie. You know, but there's something about the person who could appreciate that kind of beauty, that you must have a reservoir of that beauty inside you. It just can't seem to come out. Does it ever come out with anybody? How about with children?
I mean, I'm a pretty girl. But I'm ordinary. This woman has a power.
I hear you.
And she doesn't even want that power. I think it makes them more powerful.
Sure. Did you ever ask her about it?
Yeah, and she's the one who told me about this show.
Oh, she told you about this show?
Yes.
She told you she gets it from this show?
No, but she told me that she was an admirer of yours. But now she's there. She's more busy, so I don't know. I doubt she listens now. But
yeah, so she's going to lose her power. I'm only kidding.
But she's so deep.
Yeah.
She doesn't talk about how she looks in the money and... And the other people here are like that, always money, money, money.
Yeah.
So she, yeah, I think I am fascinated. I must.
Well, I guess she might, I guess she directed you to me for a reason. So I want you to go to my website, and I want you to peruse my website and see what it does to you. Let that be a beginning.
Okay.
All right. Go okay. through the website, thepositivemind.com, then send me an email.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Armand. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Valerie. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's Paula calling.
Hello, Paula.
How are you?
Good.
I'm calling to present my situation. I'm at a loss for why I don't have love and why I don't have a job in my life.
Uh-huh.
I lost my spouse of 14 years to a neurological disease 3 years ago. And I was downsized from my job. This is the second time I've been downsized from a job. And I have all these wonderful credentials. I'm an attorney, and I'm a career counselor. I've got a master's degree and a graduate degree in counseling and guidance. And I went to good schools and everything. So I know they're two separate questions. I don't know what I'm doing that I'm not attracting women to me. And I don't know what I'm doing that I'm not attracting a job to me.
Yeah, I hear. I hear you really feel lost, don't you?
Like you can't imagine.
I do imagine. What I hear is all this effort that you put in, all this power you put in, and I hear inside you this little person who is just kind of holding on to herself and hugging herself and saying, oh, what do we need? I've tried so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I hear. You know, Paula, it takes time. It takes time. How old are you now?
I'm 52.
52. And you've been through a couple of lifetimes already, huh?
I sure have.
The death of someone you love.
Very much so.
The loss of two jobs.
Yeah.
Do you do anything with your volunteer time? Do you give any time to anybody
else? I'm a musician, and so I'm trying to get on Broadway in the next couple of years. And so I looked into doing volunteer work, but this woman was talking about making sock puppets.
Uh-huh.
And that is a little bit... You know, beneath me, I must say.
Well, nothing is beneath me to do when it comes to volunteer work,
I can revisit that.
What? Yeah, I'll make sock puppets. What are you kidding? If somebody would enjoy sock puppets, I'll make them. You know? Join us. You know,
okay.
Paul, go in there and give it a try. There's
right.
nothing beneath you.
Thank you.
Yeah, my gift. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, dear.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about power. Hi there. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Armand DeMille. This is Claudia June. I haven't spoken to you since the last time we had spoke about psych unit experience. I'm calling today because out of all the things I could think about as far as feeling powerless, I wish that I could be able to get a refrigerator today because it's going on the ninth day that I have not had refrigeration.
Ninth day with no refrigeration.
That's the only means of me feeling powerless.
Yeah, no, I understand, Claudia, you know, but there is a lot to it.
And I enjoyed your conversation and dealing with power and aggressive because yesterday... I raised myself to be introverted, and the only time that I was extroverted is when I was at the brink of knowing that I was out of control. And using passive aggressiveness, it's almost like you inhale, you count to 10, and then you regain your thoughts minute by minute, and then you inhale again. So my positive aggressiveness is one of the means of how I maintain my control, but my powerlessness today is no refrigerator.
I hear you.
It's 95 degrees.
Claudia.
And I have hot flashes.
And you have hot flashes, too. Oh, my God, Claudia, the combination is unbearable. And mind you, 30 years ago, no, not 30 years ago, but 50 years ago, there were no refrigerations. You know, there used to be an ice box, and then there were things called no air conditioners, and people just sweat. So get yourself a fan, I'm sure, which you already have.
Fans here already.
I know. And just let yourself sweat, because you're going to be going through a lot of it.
But one of the things that I did not think about was the days when my mother was growing up and how they dealt with no refrigeration.
That's right. They dealt with it, too.
But now that you got that in my head, I'll be copacetic throughout my waiting time.
Good for you, Claudia. Thanks a lot for calling in.
You have a pleasant day.
Thank you. Here are some examples of irrational thinking that lead people to deny their powerlessness. People believe that you have to be able to control everything in your life. They believe it's a sign of weakness to admit your inability to control things. That you should be able to solve your own problems on your own. They think you should be able to work things out on your own once you realize what a problem is. The kind of thinking that really bends people is when they believe that there is no problem too great that it can't be solved. There are some problems you can't solve. That you're a real wimp if you can't deal with it on your own. People are able to handle everything in life. That's why they were given intelligence, creativity, and imagination. That's the belief. That you're a bad person if you're powerless. Powerless to change behaviors on your own. You're a bad person if you're addicted. If you have no... You're not supposed to ask for help from others. And the problem is that when you ask for help, you certainly are going to become dependent. And that's another fear. You're morally weak if you can't take care of yourself. These are ways that people have of not facing their powerlessness. You got to give that up. Somewhere you got to reach a hand out. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, I wanted to call because a previous caller inspired me to call. I'm not that, specifically the woman who was talking about a young woman in her workplace who had a lot of power but didn't really mean to.
Yeah.
I feel like I am, I'm not that specific person, but I feel like I am that person in the workplaces that I am in. I'm young, pretty well-educated. I have a lot to contribute. I enjoy working with other people and getting things done. But so frequently when I've been in that workplace, and specifically four times in the past year, specifically women who are older, in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, have felt the need to put me down and to use their power to kind of counteract my power. And it has been an incredibly painful process to go through that and to overcome it. And now I've become a lot stronger. And
what's your name?
My name is Lisa.
Lisa?
Yes.
Well, Lisa, funny that you should mention this. This came across my desk today. Listen to this. In Bernard Dubisman in Germany did a study, and here's what he found. Older people enjoy negative stories and seeing negative things about younger people because it makes them feel better. Now, this was a study. We wanted to figure out why is this true. The German researchers said that older people tend to be portrayed negatively in society on their own, that if you're an older person, generally you have there's a negative view of you. Although they're often described as wise, they're also shown as being slow, forgetful, and fragile. So older people have this kind of fragile image. Now, you live in a youth-centered culture that many appreciate a boost in self-esteem. That's why the older people prefer to read stories, negative stories about younger people, because it makes them feel better about themselves. Now, it's a funny thing about the older people. They don't like to see bad stories about older people, just about younger people. But they tend to show less interest in articles about older people. But younger people prefer to read positive articles about other younger people, but they showed no preference for negative stories about the older people. So there it is. I mean, it's exactly what you're talking about.
But
the older people look at you, and they feel more fragile. So it would be natural for them to want to feel like you're less than they are.
But gender is also a big part of it, because I have had very many positive relationships, working relationships with older men.
That's going to bring me somewhere else. And that's going to bring me to the fact that you probably loved your daddy a lot.
Mm-hmm. I also love my mom a lot.
I know, but do you love your daddy a lot?
Yes.
Are you very close to him?
Actually, I want to be more close to him.
Yeah. So you yearn to be closer to Dad, and he's a little out of reach, right?
Yeah.
And you feel tears even as you talk about this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear. What's been the pain of your being close to your father? What's made him not available?
Coldness.
He's there something.
Quietness.
Does he treat you like he doesn't like you?
No.
He treats you like he likes you, but he's just at a distance, right?
Yeah, I feel like he has trouble really connecting with people and is kind of a loner.
Yeah. So here's the story, Lisa. You built yourself in a way to find Daddy to melt and to like you. And what happens without even knowing it? You're out there in the world getting Daddy to like you. And what's happening is the women are perceiving that. And they get upset, angry, and jealous about it. Not that you're doing anything wrong. But this sensitivity on your part, this burning desire to have yourself be found as lovable by your father is probably crossing over in the workplace. And that's why men find you so easy to get along with and the women don't. It's a common problem.
Yeah, most of my mentors have been men.
Yeah.
And they truly have been father figures.
Yeah. So what you really need, you need to find a woman you could really, really, really trust. And I would recommend a therapist, and I could think of a couple of them that would be great for you.
I do have a fabulous female therapist. And I also, in the past year, have started to develop many close relationships with female friends through a women's circle. And it's been tremendously empowering.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah.
And, well, remember, they're women, not females. Lisa, nice to talk to you. I have to
Thank
be
you.
Going. Thanks for calling in. Yes, sometimes what we're doing is we're struggling and we're trying to find something that we're looking for from childhood, because in childhood we felt the ultimate powerlessness of not being able to get the love that we wanted. Hey, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends, with more stuff. Be back with you then. This is Armand DeMille. Do go to thepositivemind.com. Pick up on some of the other shows.